We're doing the Ein Yaakov. We're up to page Nun Zayin Amud Beis in the standard Ein Yaakovs. It says 114 on the top right corner. Tafresh, Tanu Rabbanan. The rabbis learned that whenever we have a Tanu Rabbanan, it means we're quoting a Tanoic quote, what's called a Braisa, external to the Mishnah, but a Tanoic quote that was validated by the Academy of Rechia or Rabbi Oshaya. So Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis learned. Suma, someone who is blind. Suman Aramaic means someone who is blind. So he has to daven Shmoneh Esrei. How is he going to figure out which direction to face? He can't see Jerusalem. Or someone who doesn't know how to aim. He's on a plane. He doesn't know which direction to face Jerusalem when he's praying Shmoneh Esrei. So a guy's traveling in the Sahara and he doesn't have a compass. I don't know how he's going to get out of the Sahara, but he doesn't know how to aim where Jerusalem is. He's in Bat Yam and he doesn't know where Bat Yam is in relation to Jerusalem, or he's in someone's house and he doesn't know in which direction to face, and he's got no one to ask. So the Talmud says Yichaven Nibo K'neged Aviv Shebashamayim. He should aim his heart to his Father in heaven. You can't aim your face the way you should in prayer, so at least aim your heart. Shneimar, as the verse says, V'itpalu L'Hashem Eloyim. They will pray to Hashem, their gods. That's the main point. Ideally, we all face towards Jerusalem. But if we can't face Jerusalem because we don't know how, so we face our hearts to Hashem. Haya omed b'chutz la'aretz, a person who's outside of Israel, yichaven libo k'neged eretz Yisrael. He faces his heart towards Israel, and if he could, he faces himself towards Israel. And all of these verses that we're going to quote now, the verse really here, the Ein Yaakov shortens it. The Talmud says, if you're outside Israel, you face Israel. When you're in Israel, you face Jerusalem. When you're in Jerusalem, you face the temple. When you're in the temple, you face the Holy of Holies. Those verses are the verses that Shlomo HaMelech said when he was inaugurating the temple. So he said, God, let this temple be the place where all prayers go up to you, and everyone will face this temple when they pray. And after his institution of the temple, that's when we all started praying in the direction of Jerusalem. So the source for this is the verse of Shlomo in the inauguration, where he said, "Bitpalu lecha derech ha'otzam." Shlomo said, even if Jews are abducted, if Jews have to go out to war outside of Israel, they'll have to pray to you to help them to make it back. Jews are out on business trips, they'll face Israel when they're praying. So Shlomo HaMelech was talking in a time where the Jews were all living in Israel. So what does he have to discuss Jews in Chutz La'aretz for? He says, you know, maybe someone will go on a business trip. Maybe they'll be caught at war. Maybe they'll be out at war. Wherever they'll be, they'll pray to you through their land. And that's why wherever we are, we face Israel. Those countries that are north of Israel should have their shuls facing south. Those that are to the west should face east. Those that are to the east should face west, right? Nimtza kol Yisrael mechavnim libam lemakom echad. So it turns out that all the Jews aim towards one place. They aim their hearts in prayer. And a shul should preferably have windows, not at eye level, but higher up. And when a person stands in prayer, he can look through the windows and imagine that straight ahead, where he's looking, is the Holy of Holies up there in the sky. He might have to look 1,000 miles outwards in the sky, but somewhere out there, straight ahead of him, is Jerusalem, is Israel, is the Holy of Holies. And the idea is that when a person has a difficult time focusing in his prayer, so he should pause, look up through the windows, imagine himself standing before God, before the Holy of Holies, and that will help him focus, and then he can again focus on his prayers. But this idea that we all pray through one place, through the Holy of Holies, was begun by Shlomo HaMelech. I don't know if in the time before they erected the temple, if all the Jews would face Shiloh, where the Ark was, where they had the Aron.
You say this is the gate of...
Oh, so that's a good point. Spiritually, technically, we say there is a temple in heaven that corresponds to the temple down below. And there is a gate in heaven, so to speak. There is the entranceway to all prayers that's above the Holy of Holies. And there's also that gate through which all blessing comes down, which is also from the Holy of Holies. But until Shlomo set up the temple, it doesn't seem like anyone was aiming there. We know that from Yaakov Avinu's time already, that place was set aside. but it was a secret. The rabbis purposely didn't reveal where it was, and God purposely didn't reveal where it was, so that the nations wouldn't know. You see, now that they know where we value, so now they're vying for it. So that's why it was kept secret. So Shlomo HaMelech, when he set up the Beit HaMikdash, then he let everyone know that this is the place. Yeah.
Written question for me. During the Amidah, since I can't stand, what do I do? What don't I do?
Well, you sit. And if you're in a wheelchair?
I'm crutches and I can't stand.
Could you stand with the crutches?
Not for that much time.
Okay.
Not without losing the path and starting to pull.
You can still bow sitting down and says Shubhan.
Okay. It also says if you're on a horse, you have the horse take 3 steps back and 3 steps forward.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could, you go back and forward, and it might be preferable to daven a shorter Shmona Esrei with the crutches, but that I have to think about. The way we rule, no, not necessarily, because you have to lean on them all the time. I have to look it up if there's any preference for you to stand with the crutches and daven shorter or sitting, because technically there's a rush which we go with that says that leaning is like sitting. We derive that from the Temple Mount when the Kohanim did their services, so it says they had to stand of their own strength, and if they'd be leaning on something, that would be considered as though they're not standing. And the rush on that Gemara says that the same would be for prayer, so we say that in prayer. So I have to check if there's any preference for you to stand with your crutches, being that you're leaning anyways, you can't stand. I have to look it up. I don't remember.
If in the end I had to sit, would I be forbidden from saying certain prayers?
No. Keep going. Yeah, everything is usual.
No, because you could be in a plane or something and there's turbulence and you're running, it's almost time, you know, you can't get out of your seat, but you got to pray now, so you have to please sit down.
Right, only it's a machlokas whether you're yotze praying sitting down. We rule with the Evid that if you pray sitting down, you are yotze. But that in and of itself is a machlokas. I don't remember clearly if you gain anything by standing leaning as opposed to sitting. But sitting, worst comes to worst, if you have to pray sitting, like he said, you're yotze. But whether there's a preference to stand and lean, I don't remember. I have to look it up. Amar Rebbe Yavin, and Rebbe Yavin is the same Amora as the Gemara quotes as Ravin. Ravin is short for Rebbe Yavin. Amar Rebbe Yavin mitema Rebbe Avina. Rebbe Avina is also Ravina. Ravina in the Gemara is short for Rebbe Avina. Meyekra, what's the source for this that we all focus to the same place? The verse says in Song of Songs, Kimigdal David Tzavarech Banui Letalpiyot. Your neck is like the Tower of David, he says. It's built to great heights. So what does it mean, letal piot? Tel shekol piot ponim bo. That this is the mountain where all mouths in prayer face the Temple Mount. Kama yishe ben tfila letfila. How long should one pause between prayers? You're going to pray shachris and mincha, or shachris and musaf back to back. How long should one pause? Ravuna v'rav chista. Chad amar kidei shetitchonen da'ato alav, chad amar kidei shetitcholel da'ato alav. They both said you have to pause so that you can focus. One said so that your mind is focused to say things in terms of request, and one said so that your mind is focused so you can express things in a way of requesting them correctly. So technically they said the same thing, but they just used different terms, and the Gemara explains that the terms stem from verses in the Torah. One who says titchonen dato so that he can ask correctly, he'll be focused. That's because the verse says Moshe asked Hashem v'etchanan, so he used the term chonin. And he who said that his mind will be focused so that he could beg correctly, so that cholel and chonin are really similar terms. Litchanen is to plead, to beg. Litcholel is also to plead and to beg. So why did he use a different term? Because the verse says, Vayachal Moshe, Moshe begged Hashem to forgive the Jewish people, and this brings us to the conclusion of the fourth chapter. So now we're up to the fifth chapter of Chot. אין עומדים להתפלל אלא מתוך כובד ראש. We do not stand up to pray שמונה עשרה unless we are focused, unless we are subservient. Before a person stands in שמונה עשרה, a person should pause and think and recognize that he's in God's hands. We put our feet together, and this is supposed to remind us when we're standing in שמונה עשרה, like a guy in bondage. I can't do anything if not for God. So when a person stands up to pray, he has to pray mitoch kovid rosh, out of seriousness and out of the recognition that he's subservient. Kovid rosh literally means a weighty head. And if one thinks for a minute, I'm standing before the master of masters, so the natural tendency is his head goes down. Kovid rosh, a weighty head, his head goes down. When he...
Doesn't it say that the legs are together because that's the way the angels look like when they're...
Says that too, correct. It's also true. There are a few reasons given. So that says that also. Chasidim Rishonim, the earlier pious people, Ayushim Sha'a Echad, they used to wait a whole hour to focus their minds before prayer, umitpalin, and only pray after they focused for an hour. So if you think about that, three times a day, to focus for an hour before prayer, their prayer must have taken them an hour. And then an hour to come out of such focus, they're spending 9 hours a day praying. Where do they have time to do anything else?
Where did this source come from? This blend also an hour to pray and an hour from now?
Gemara. I don't know if Dan Yaakov quotes it, but it's a Gemara here. So, Bavli and Yerushalmi. Kidei sheichavnu libam na'aveim shebashamayim, so that their minds will be focused to God. And here's an important point. People very often rush into Shemona Esrei, especially if you're having a hard time keeping up with the congregation. It's important when you're holding a few sentences before Shemona Esrei, stand up in the place where you're going to say Shemona Esrei and pause. Pause in silence. You're ready to say Shemona Esrei. You've reached the point of Shemona Esrei. Don't run into Baruch Tashem. Pause. Think about who you're standing in front of. You know, this is something, this is a Mishnah, this is a Halacha and Shulchan Aruch. Most people miss it. They run into Shul saying, they stand up and say,
wait a second. But aren't
we
supposed to go like directly from Al Yisrael in Shacharit?
That's what I said. A few sentences beforehand, pause. I didn't say between Gal and Yisrael.
Oh, like when you first...
When you hit Micha Mocha, right.
Okay.
You're at Micha Mocha. Micha Mocha Nedar Bakodesh Norati Lo So Sefel, eh? Pause for a minute.
The prayer itself
Think.
Tells you to pray.
What?
The prayer itself is indicating
Yeah, but you gotta think for a minute. Who am I standing?
Yeah.
I found that once I started doing this, my prayer looked totally different. I spent years learning it and thinking, yeah, I'm doing it in prayer, going into it. I'm saying all the words that say this, like you say. And then I said, when I learned this in depth, I said, you know, wait, let me try exactly what it says. So I'd come to shul, stand in place for Shemona Esrei, close my eyes, and pause. Think for 10 seconds. Suddenly I had a hard time opening my mouth. And you think of the enormity of the stance. You're standing before God. Then the words, Hashem Sfatai Tiftach, come naturally. Hashem, open my lips, because I don't feel like I have a right to even talk. What are we saying? Hashem Sfatai Tiftach, you God, you open my lips. But those words don't have almost any meaning if you're running into it. Says the Gemara, Mina Hanimili. What's the source for this, that before entering prayer, a person should focus, should only pray out of a feeling of subservience? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar taught, Amar Ka, for the verse says, when Chana was being tormented by her tzara, the other wife of Elkanah, remember Samuel's mother, Chana, could not have children. There was another wife, and that other wife had many children, and she'd tease Hannah. And then at one point, she was very bitter, and she went to pray. So over there it says, V'him marat nafesh v'titpalel. She was embittered, and out of this embitterment, she went out to pray. So you see that she took time to focus on her prayer. She was embittered, and then she went to pray. The Gemara says, "Mimai, how could you learn from there? Din mashani Chana, dava merira libatuva. Maybe Chana, she was so embittered, so yeah, she had to take time to focus going into her prayer. But that doesn't mean that every person has to take time before they start praying. Ela amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina mehacha. So Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina said, we derive this from the verse in Tehillim. Paniv rov chaschcha vo veitecha. David said, I come to your home with your great kindness. Eshtachave lechal kodshecha bigiratecha. I bow to your holy altar. I bow before your holy place out of fear. I come with awe. So we see that when you come to pray, you have to come with awe. So Talmud says, "Umimai dilma David shani David mitzah nafshei brach meituva." Maybe David used to pray so much. King David, yeah, he used to enter with such great awe. Who says all of us when we come to pray, we have to enter with such great awe? Ela amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi mehacha. But Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi taught the sources from here. Who remembers what we learned about Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? How did he die? He didn't. Remember, he's the one that tricked the Malach HaMaves, went into the Garden of Eden with a sword. You guys remember the story? So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says the source is from here. It says in Tehillim, Mishtachavu L'Hashem Be'adrat Kodesh. David HaMelech says to us, we should bow before Hashem with the glorification of holiness. So we say the verse that says Be'adrat Kodesh, the glorification of holiness, Al Tikri Be'adrat Kodesh, Ela Be'cherdat Kodesh. Don't read it as the glorification, but rather as the awe of holiness. When you come to bow before Hashem, when you come to pray before Hashem, do it with awe. So from this verse we derive that we have to think before we enter prayer. Who are we standing before? So the Gemara says, "Mimai dilma lolam emala chadrat mamash." Who told you to redefine the verse? Maybe the verse literally means, come with the glorification of holiness. Ki had Rav Yehuda mitzayin nafshei v'adar matzli. Like Rabbi Yehuda, he used to get all dressed up, he used to put a tie, he used to put on a jacket, he used to get all dressed up whenever he'd go pray. And we say in Halacha also that whoever can afford it should have a special garment that he wears in honor of prayer. In Merkaz Arav, I remember there were guys who used to change their shirts. They'd go to the bathroom just before prayer and change their shirts in honor of prayer. That was their way of glorifying in honor of prayer. A person should try to have something. When I was in the United States, I used to put on a tie for prayer. Because in the United States, whenever you have to meet someone respectable, you put on a tie. Here in Israel, you don't. You come with sandals without socks. But in America, that's what people do. So I'd put on a tie. You know, the Hasidim put on a gartel, they put on a sash. Whatever, it doesn't matter. But the verse says, when we come to bow before Hashem, we're coming to pray before Hashem, we should glorify this holy stance, the fact that we're standing before Hashem. So a person should wear something nice in honor of prayer. Ela amar Nachman bar Yitzchak. So we're still looking for a source that when we stand in prayer, we should stand out of subservience. We should recognize who we're standing before. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says the source for it is the following verse. It says in Tehillim, "Ivdu et Hashem biyirah vegilu birada." Serve Hashem in awe and rejoice with trembling. May vegilu birada. What does it mean? Rejoice with trembling. Amar Avida bar Matna amar Rav, b'mkom gila sham tei ra'ada. So Avida bar Matna taught that the place where you rejoice, the place where you're going to pray before Hashem, over there too you should have trembling. Don't just get carried away with the fact that you're standing before Hashem. So now the Gemara is going to go off on a tangent. That this verse that says v'gilu birada, that when you rejoice, you should also have fear, you should also have awe, don't get carried away with your rejoicing. This is a concept that the Talmud says is a concept in all of life. Now, you're having a party, don't just get drunk and get carried away with what you're doing. Remember, God's still around. And from this concept, we're going to see, the Talmud's going to teach us, let's see, okay. Rav Yirmiyah, you guys remember Rav Yirmiyah? Rav Yirmiyah was the rabbi that, he always asks questions that go to the umpteenth detail. They were once learning about a chicken that came out of the Erev. There's the 2,000 footsteps of the city, and you have a chicken just out of the 2,000 footsteps. So there's halacha. What happens if the chicken is 2,000 footsteps, if it's beyond the Erev, the line that delineates the end of our domain on Shabbos? What happens if it's within the Erev? So he asked, and what happens if it has 1 foot in and 1 foot out, this chicken? So they kicked him out of the academy. They said, that's never going to happen. You don't go to such details. So Rav Yirmiyah is famous for being the one that they kicked him out of the academy. But he's always asking, you'll see, detailed questions. So Rav Yirmiyah v'yativ kamed Rav Zeira. Rav Yirmiyah was sitting before Rav Zeira. Chazei davi kabadach tuva. Rav Zera saw that Rav Yirmiyah was very happy. He was getting carried away. Amale v'gilu biradaktiv. He said to him, don't you know that even when you're happy, there has to be a limit? You still have to have awe of God? So he said to him, Amale, I'm not tefillin menachem. He said, don't you see, I'm wearing tefillin. If I'm wearing tefillin, so I'm constantly aware that God is present. When they wore tefillin, it meant something. You know, well, we wear tefillin, we know the halachas. You're not supposed to pass air when you wear tefillin. You don't go into the bathroom. You don't think dirty thoughts. When they wore tefillin, they felt the fact that God was with them when they wore tefillin. So he said to him, obviously I'm not going to get carried away with my happiness because I'm wearing tefillin. Abaye aviyatev kamei derabba. Abaye, you guys remember Abaye, right? Abaye's real name was Nachmani. Abaye lost his father when he was in utero, when his mother got pregnant. And his mother died at childbirth. And he was raised by a woman who he quotes throughout the Talmud. He says, Amrali im. My mother told me, not his mother, he never saw his mother. It's the woman who raised him, it's his adoptive mother. And the one who took him into his house as an orphan who raised him was Rabba Bar Nachmani. So Rabba, the famous Rabba throughout the Shas, he took in this child Nachmani, but Rabba's own father was Nachmani. So Rabba didn't want to call this adopted kid by his father's name. You're not supposed to use your father's name, it's disrespectful. So he called him Abaye. Abaye, you're my father's name. Abaye, throughout the Shas, that's the nickname he got in Rabba's home. Abaye is also an acronym for the verse, Asher Becha Yerucham Yatum. In you, God, is the compassion for the orphans. So you're not supposed to call people by nicknames. Really? Well, how did Moshe get the name Moshe? He was called Tuvia by his mother. Why was he called Moshe? I'm saying the Torah respects the name. You're not supposed to give a nickname that the person doesn't want. But nicknames that a person is okay with, so those are okay. They even show up in halacha. So Abaye, this nickname stuck in Rabba's house, and that was the name he stuck with. And obviously it didn't bother Abaye, otherwise they wouldn't have used the nickname. So Abaye was sitting before his Rebbe and adoptive father, Rabba. It's Rabba Bar Nachmani. Chazye da'avayati v'kabadach tuva. Rabba sees that Abaye is in very high spirits. Abaye saw that Rabba was in very high spirits. Amales, Abaye asked him, lo sava lamal. Doesn't the teacher hold of the opinion that the verse says in Mishle, b'choletzev yeh mutar, out of every sadness a person has, he'll benefit. And the indication is, but when you're partying, you don't necessarily benefit, you might lose. So he doesn't tell his Rebbe directly, but he says to him, but isn't the proper behavior for a sage like you to be more sad or more serious? Amale anat tefillin menachna. So he said, I'm wearing my tefillin. I'm not going to get out of hand. Yeah, I'm happy and whatever the case may be, but it's not going to get out of hand. The Talmud over here quotes the story, so we'll see that story next week, which is the source for why we break a glass at a wedding. That we'll see Bezat Shem next week, but right now we got to go to Arvit. So.